بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah,
who is Al-Mannan?
لا إله إلا الله.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam alaikum and welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. With me, Atta, the host of this program, Sheikh Karimi, who is over here to talk about today's discussion. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah and thank you for having me.
A rather interesting question for today's discussion. What were the occupations and sources of income of prophets and the infallible imams? So most people might think that the main occupation of prophets were prophethood and the imams were leadership, but that was not so. I mean, in the history we read that so many of them had their own occupations. So what were they, Shaykh?
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To put it in a nutshell, all the prophets, they worked and they were earning money through their jobs and works. And the same is true about all the imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. So firstly, let's talk about the prophet and the sources of his income. So first of all, we can talk about the properties of Lady Khadija, salamullah alayha. Yes. I mean, during the time of the mission of the prophet, we know that the wealth and properties of Lady Khadija, salamullah alayha, helped the prophet a lot. As the prophet himself said that no property helped me as that of Khadija, salamullah alayha. Of course, until the year, 13 after Bi'tha, after the mission, when Khadija salamullah alayha passed away.
That's right.
The other source of income, we can call it the gifts of the people. So all the Muslims, they love the Prophet, and sometimes they gifted him some properties. It's been mentioned that, for example, when the Prophet entered the city of Medina, a person gave him 7 gardens. So that could be also used as a source of income for the prophet. The other source is based on Islamic jurisprudence, according to which some properties are exclusively for the prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Technically speaking, they are called, for example, anfal or fay. For example, yes. If in a war, some lands are taken from the enemies without any war. So, based on jurisprudence, based on the Islamic laws, these are the properties of the Prophet and after him for the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt.
For example, in the conflict with Banu Nadir tribe, it was fay, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Without conflict, in fact.
And also the land of Fadak that later
Fadak,
was given
right.
to Lady Zahra Salamullah alayha. And Fadak also could be a source of income for the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, but it was taken from them. And they also in the Battle of Khaybar as well. And we have the concept of Khums. We know that a part of Khums is also the property of the Prophet and the Imams after him. But the point is that the Prophet also worked.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that
he was a merchant.
Yeah,
at the time
he was a
Khadija,
merchant.
Was a shepherd,
he was working in the caravan, in the trade caravan of Lady Khadija, salamullahi alayha. And not only that, even when he was a Prophet, there are some indications in the narrations that sometimes, at least, he was active in merchandise. For example, once he saw a Bedouin Arab.
He was a gardener too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Most of the prophets worked in the garden. I mean, Jesus Christ,
they
Moses.
They were either farmer or a shepherd.
A shepherd,
it's been mentioned
right.
In the narrations that this is the two most common occupations and jobs for the prophets.
Except Jesus Christ, who was a carpenter too, isn't it? He was a carpenter.
So the Prophet, as you mentioned, he was for some years at least, he was a shepherd.
Yes.
And that was a source of income for him. And also, farming, even after the time that he was chosen as the Prophet, he was working in some farms. And this is based on the narrations. So these are different sources of income for the Prophet. So he was working. Of course, when he was chosen as the last prophet, especially in Medina, for most of his time, he was involved and engaged in his prophetic duties and responsibilities. The same is true about Imam Ali alayhi salam and all the other Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They were working. I mean, literally, they were workers.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, through his income out of working and especially farming, he was able to free 1,000 slaves. So he was working. Although he was able to take from Baytul Mal, but it's been mentioned that Imam Ali alayhi salam was living his life out of his personal income.
All right.
Imam Ali alayhi salam was making farms. I mean, for example, palm trees, for example.
Yes.
Digging wells.
Digging wells, that's
and
right.
And then sometimes giving them in the form of waqf or endowment to poor people or to his sometimes family members. And one of the sources of the incomes of the next imams were the farms and the lands given to them by Imam Ali alayhi salam.
That's right. For 25 years, we can say, when he was not the caliph of the Muslims, he used to work hard and hard. That's right.
Sure.
Okay.
So the same is true about Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It's been mentioned that they were the custodians of some of those farms given to them by Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Okay.
And they were working on these farms as well. And the narrations tell us that all the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam also were involved in working.
Imam Musa al-Kazim again on agricultural.
I'm not talking about,
well.
I mean, the fact that, I mean, the whole day, for example. Uh-huh. No, they had other responsibilities, duties related to their main, let's say, duty as being the Imam and the leader for the Ummah. But for earning a kind of income for livinghood, they also work. So there are some narrations in this regard, for example.
Sorry, before getting to narrations, we must know that some of the imams were living under surveillance and control of their caliphs of the time. So they were not that much free in order to go everywhere they like.
Exactly.
For example, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or for example, the other imams. You know, they were imprisoned for so many days and years of their life. So working for them was not that much easy as we are talking about.
Yeah, the conditions of the imams were different from imam to another and also from one time to another time. So we shouldn't think that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was freed in his whole lifetime. No, toward the end of his lifetime, he was also under the control of the Abbasids. Later, when they were established, the Abbasid Caliphate, when they were firmed, then they also controlled Imam Sadiq alayhi salam as well. Also, Imam Kazim alayhi salam, we shouldn't think that always he was in prison.
Yes.
Yes, a good number of years he was in prison, but for many years he was not in the prison. Mm-hmm. Now, back to the narrations, we have received narrations talking about the details of how the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam were working. A person is called Muhammad bin Munkadir. He says that once I saw Muhammad bin Ali, that is Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and he gave me a piece of advice. He said that it was a very hot day in the summer. It was a very hot day, and I went outside the city of Medina. I saw Muhammad bin Ali, that is Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, and I saw that being in an old age, he was working. He was sweating because of hard work.
That's right.
I saluted him and then I told him that, I mean, a person like you in the old age, let's say you should be in the mosque praying, reciting the Quran, worshiping God, while you are working, are you looking after, I mean, material world? So it was a wrong assumption of this person. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam told him that this is not the case. This is a wrong understanding of the true religion. If I die right now, while I am working, I have died while I'm worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now I'm working to earn income for the welfare of myself, my family members, and other people. So dying at the time of working to earn money is, a sign of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
This has been mentioned in Wasa'il al-Shia, volume 12, page 9, in Kitab al-Tijara. So Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, based on this narration, even in his old age, was working personally.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I repeat, it doesn't mean that na'udhu billah he ignored his main responsibilities, but beside that, he was also engaged in working.
Okay.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also, he was in charge of some of the farms given to him by the previous imams in the form of waqf. But sometimes he was, it's been mentioned that sometimes personally he took a spade and going to the farmlands and working. Abdul A'la says that once I saw Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in a very hot day in the summer and he was working. I told him that why you are troubling yourself. The Imam told him that I'm here to earn halal money, halal income, and so that I'm not in need of other people, and it is an act of worship.
All right.
It's been mentioned in another narration, so working in the farmlands was a source of income for some of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. But they also were looking for other ways to have income. For example, what we call it a mudaraba, or a profit-sharing partnership.
Yes.
So, for example, imagine I have some money, but I'm not able to be involved in trade and merchandise. I give you this money, you are an expert in trade, and then we will share the profit. This is called mudaraba in Islamic terminology of fiqh or jurisprudence. According to some narrations, some of the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they also used this contract to earn money.
All right.
For example, Muhammad bin Adhafir, quoting his father, says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam gave my father 1,700 dinars and told him that trade with this money. He said that I'm not looking for any kind of profit, but I just want to show that I'm looking after halal income. And later, my father worked with that money given to him by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and sent Imam Sadiq alayhi salam his share of the profit, which was 100 dinars. So my father gave it to the Imam. Imam became happy. And then gave it back to my father and told my father that add it to the capital and work with it as well.
All right.
And the narration continues to refer to the details. So you see, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam in this case is using a very legal and beneficial way of, earning money and income that is called mudaraba. He himself is not able to go to the trade. He gives some money to another person and then he will share in the profit.
And we must know that very little was consumed by the imams from the Baytul Mal and from the public fund, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. As I mentioned, for example, we have about Imam Ali alayhi salam that he never used Baytul Mal, the public treasury.
Okay.
And later in the times of the Banu Umayyad and the Banu Abbas, I mean, a great majority of them, they deprived the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam of the public treasury. One last narration is about Imam Kazim alayhi salam. Again, it's been mentioned that as the narrator Ali ibn Hamza says, I saw Imam al-Kazim alayhi salam working on one of his lands, farms, and he was sweating. I told him that where are the men? Meaning that why are you working yourself and in person? Let other people come and help you. The Imam said, and this is very powerful. Oh Ali, people have worked in such lands who were much better than me. I asked him, what do you mean? He said, the Prophet, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and my forefathers, all the prophets, all of them, they used to work on the land and on the farms.
Okay.
Meaning that it is a tradition among the prophets and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to work for earning money. And of course, again, when it comes to the Imams, another source of income for them were sometimes the gifts and also the homes given to them by the Shia and their followers.
Okay. Thank you very much. All in all, the Prophet and the infallible Imams, you know, has invited the people and encouraged the people to work. You know, being, for example, a man of religion must not stop you from working and earn a living for your family, Sheikh.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration.
My pleasure.
And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن